The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
Hence the name Lippo and Big JD in the morning. No.
No?
No, it's Big JD and Lippo in the morning. Yeah. Usually you introduce yourself.
I don't.
No?
Not first.
Okay. How you doing, Big JD?
I'm Lippo, and I'm Big JD. That's how we do it every time.
Okay.
It's funny how after 10 years we get mixed up in what's going on. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well.
He's very well, thank you.
Rainy September day.
Not to be confused with this morning that they're listening to the show. It's beautiful and sunny.
No, you can listen to the show anytime you want.
That's right. But not until after we've released it.
Well, there's the people in
I listened
room.
To this show yesterday.
Wow. He's before a time we recorded shifter. It.
And I bring up my iTunes on my laptop, and I still don't see show 24. This is show 25, by the way. Wow.
So you think there's an issue with your RSS?
I don't know. Something. No, because we can download the shows.
Yeah, it shows up.
Everything works. TuneIn Radio has the show. And
so tell me what the problem is. Specifically, what is the issue?
I don't know.
No. What is the perceived issue?
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Oh, that I go to iTunes,
mm-hmm.
and if I click, it shows all our shows in iTunes or iTunes web page, right?
Oh,
or in the store.
If you're looking for our show, yes.
Right, or to go to the store and search Big JD and Lippo in the Morning, whatever, yeah. and it comes up with 23 shows and not the last one. Yet, if I'm subscribed, it'll download show 24.
Yeah.
So
I have seen that phenomenon before myself.
Yeah, but it's been days, and so I don't know if it's like just a cache thing on my end, or if you go there, does a show show up?
Oh, I haven't actually looked for.
Yeah, yeah. You were able to get at the show, but
yes, yep.
So I don't know what the deal is exactly, but
we'll find out if it's better for you when you drop this show.
I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
doesn't that ever shut off your phone?
My phone shuts off. Yep.
Do you have it set for a longer period of time or something?
I think it's 2 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe three. I don't know. I got lots of battery life in there.
Do you? I just changed the battery in my mother's 4S.
Oh. Cool.
It seems to be dying just as fast.
Yeah,
I did. I did.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. I'm rather technically inclined, you know, when I want to be.
You have little tools and stuff?
Well, it comes with the kit.
Come to the kit?
Comes with the kit.
Oh, the kit. I see.
You get the kit and the caboodle. The caboodle being the battery.
Boot it up with the caboodle.
But yeah, that's it wanted $45 to change the battery here somewhere,
right?
And got the battery on Amazon for $20 with the kit.
Is it from Thailand, Taiwan, or China?
Oh, I don't know where it's from.
Yeah,
that's irrelevant.
Well, it is
made in the USA.
No, because sometimes it'll last half
made
as long.
Made in the USA. Well, I don't know. But that doesn't really matter. Half as long is fine. If the one lasts for 4 years and this one's going to last for two, what difference does it make?
No, I'm talking about...
She'll have a new phone by then.
Daily charge.
Oh, okay. Charges. Well, it seems to be going down as fast as her other battery, so I'm not even sure if it was a battery issue right now.
Oh, right. It could have been the PMU.
But there are new phones out.
Did you?
Is that part of the news, or is that something we can talk about now?
We can talk about it now.
The iPhone 6 and 6 Plus.
Yes.
Which one are you getting? 6 Plus, obviously, 128 gigabyte.
It's either a 6 Plus or a iPad Mini. Oh, wait a minute. iPad Mini, you can't make phone calls on that.
No.
So I guess I'll have to get
the... Were you thinking about a Mini? Really?
No.
Mini would be
I'm
cool.
I'm just saying, it's way too big.
It's a bonus.
The iPhone 6 is too big.
The 6 Plus is too big, you're saying?
The 6 is too big.
Really?
The
6 4.7?
4.7.
How big is that?
Well, it's as big as the Nexus 4, which I didn't review on like last year.
Is anything as big as the 5.5-inch iPhone 6 Plus right now?
Out, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
I just saw some about that.
The Note 3. Samsung Note 3 is...
Somebody said, oh, we've had that for years on Android, so this is nothing new. Apple's just catching up.
They are.
Yeah, well.
My son actually told me, we're just catching up with the iPhone 6. we're going to give you some music news. Roger Waters celebrated his 71st birthday September 6th, which was about a week ago, at the Toronto International Film Festival. You ever been to TIFF before, Big JD?
I haven't been to TIFF, no, no.
And it was there that there was the world premiere of his new documentary, Roger Waters, The Wall. So what they did, I believe, is they documented the whole last tour. And he was on tour for at least 2 years, I want to say. The documentary runs for 133 minutes, 12 minutes longer than the actual original classic album, and was co-directed by Roger Waters and Sean Evans, who was The Wall tour creative director. It was filmed in three cities on two continents, and it was well received at the Toronto International Film Festival. Would that be something that you'd be interested in seeing?
Yeah.
No, eh? Okay. Just curious. You're not a big Pink Floyd fan.
I am a big Pink Floyd fan, but I don't know. I like a lot of old Pink Floyd stuff. Although I like new stuff too, but I mean, some of the newer things that they have going on, and Roger Waters now, you know what I mean, kind of thing. Same with the other dude, Gilmore. Like
Dave Gilmore.
Did he just put out a CD recently or anything?
Not Gilmore? That I know of, no. I don't think he's going to do anything on his own.
No?
No, I don't think so. I think he's pretty much married to the Pink Floyd thing at this time. Who's going to buy a David Gilmore?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, people might. He put out a couple of solo albums back in the past. But
yeah. I think one of them was when he was with Pink Floyd, didn't you?
I'm not sure. One was pretty good, though. I actually had a song that was played a lot and stuff. But
yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
A few things to talk about. One thing is U2 giving away their new CD on iTunes, which is pretty cool. And they were actually at that recent Apple event yesterday. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday. Yeah. But for the people listening to this, it was a few days
ago. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, they are giving away their album. It's called Songs of Innocence. And they have a single out called The Miracle of Joey. And that's, I think it's about Joey Ramone.
Yeah. It was a cool song, actually, I thought. It's pretty good.
So you watched the keynote?
I did.
As it was happening or
after? No, I didn't get a chance to watch as it was happening. I had to leave. But I was on a webinar leading up to when that started, actually. And then I had to leave.
Yeah, I watched it last night when I got home from work. And yeah, like you say, the camera angle was everything when they were like, that was really well, not rehearsed, but well planned as far as the way that
it was shot live.
The way it was shot.
Yeah, I actually said to Lana while we were watching it, I said, these camera operators are pretty good, because it was really good. Yeah. They shot it well live.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were right.
So it was planned, right? I mean, the planning.
The guys were good. They followed really well, too. I mean, you know, as Bono was down to the ground and back up.
I think it's Bono, by the way.
Bono. I always say Bono.
I know, because you like to say
Bono. I could be worse.
It could be worse, yes, but not on this show. It won't be worse.
No.
So
I don't want to get bleeped.
You were watching it with your lovely wife, Lana.
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what was her impressions of the...
Thought the phone was pretty cool, but pretty big. And the watch, I thought the watch was a little expensive, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but cool. I mean, I would get one if it wasn't, you know, how much is it going to be in Canada? Is going to be like
$5 million.
$400 minimum with our taxes and whatnot.
Right. And it's going to be the first generation. I want to see what it's going to look like
next
generation of the watch.
Everybody went crazy when they announced the watch, and they got a standing ovation and everything, which two things. One,
yeah,
that by once they said the price, after that, there wasn't as much clapping and screaming and yelling. But when they had everybody stand up that worked at Apple, that worked on all these products, it was everybody in there practically. So it was all them anyway, it seemed.
It was probably at least 800 people. Of the 2,000 were Apple employees.
Okay. If there was 2,000 people there?
There's 2,000.
Okay. Yeah. I'd say, yeah, a good half probably or more.
That's crazy if you think about it. But they're in the same city. They all work in Cupertino. They just all had to do is drive their bikes over to the Flint Center.
Well, yeah, that's cool. But I'm just saying, like, everybody's cheering like crazy, standing ovation for the watch and everything. And then come to find out it's all Apple people in there. So it's not like it's just people, you know what I mean? But it's cool just to say.
Because they invited mostly journalists. And journalists are supposed to be journalists. And they're supposed to be impartial and not, you know, fanboys or whatever. So obviously the people who are clapping and stuff is going to be the Apple employees.
Save it for iChart Mag.
iChart Mag. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. So it's funny you mention it because when Tim Cook comes out after the film shows that like they actually sprung it on the world through a video, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's when we first see it is in a video. And it's like when he comes out, the look on his face is, I've never seen that look on his face, but it made me think he's thinking, I've made my mark now kind of thing. Like, you know, I'm not attached to Steve
sure.
Jobs
it's the,
anymore.
It's
like,
a
this
big
is me.
New release. Yeah. It's
all about me.
He's the one
here.
That, yeah. But was that, you know, while Steve was around, was that whole watch thing going on?
No, it wasn't.
No, this is brand new. Okay.
There was a guy from ABC interviewed him and that guy asked that question. Was any the exact same question you just asked.
But then, you know, back in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so it's a watch, you know?
Yeah,
is that really the big new thing? You know what I mean?
I know. I agree 100%.
If it was maybe the Apple TV, ITV or something, would be pretty cool.
Like you mean an actual
something.
Television set?
Yeah, something, yeah. Something bigger than a watch.
Literally.
Not in size, but I mean, you know, a watch. How big is a watch for everybody now? We get our time on the phone now.
Well, that's the thing.
Nobody's going to start wearing a watch because of, you know what I mean, really? People are either watch wearers or not, sort of.
Absolutely. And so I am not a watch wearer.
Yeah. I am usually have a watch on. Oh, which I could tell you a big story about the whole airport fiasco with my watch.
They made you take it off?
No. I thought I lost it. And it was it's an important watch to me. And yeah, all that I went through trying to get it back and actually found it in the lining of my jacket. Couldn't even figure out how to get it out of there. It was weird.
Crazy. So do you have another piece of news?
I do. Rod Argent and Bluntstone, the singer from The Zombies, are releasing a new Zombies album and they're doing it through crowdfunding.
I think that's the way a lot of bands are going nowadays. I know the 5440 is doing the exact same thing. So you give whatever, $15, and you get a t-shirt and a CD or something
perks.
Signed. Perks, they call them, yeah.
Well, that's really cool. And I think it'd be cool to hear some new Zombies music. And I think that I didn't even know the singer was like, well, not that I had never heard anything or thought much of the guy.
Right,
but,
yeah.
You know, you just start to assume some of these guys aren't around anymore or whatever. But and what are they doing all this time? Can't be living off huge money from Zombies in the past, could they?
I don't think so, but I don't know. Maybe
I think
they're married
cool,
to people who are making some money.
I guess they have like a couple months left on the thing and already have 75% of the money, which is what I read anyway.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So they're going to be releasing
goal,
something.
I'm sure. And I don't know if it's Indiegogo or Kickstarter, which I think are the only two, aren't they?
Crowdfunding. They're the two biggest ones out there, for sure.
Somebody can search that and put in some money and get yourself a signed copy of Zombie Lyrics or whatever they're giving away. Some vinyl pressings, too, I think.
You get vinyl, you can get downloads, depending on how much money you give. But
it's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
What's the show on this week?
One of my favorite genres of music is...
Not mine, but I'm just going with the flow.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about...
I'm kidding.
Yeah, whatever.
So, yeah.
It's the genre that... a lot of music is based from. It's blues.
Yeah.
We're talking about some blues, some old stuff, some new stuff, some history.
And play some cool blues music.
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. This is really difficult for me to say, Lippo, but I like your haircut.
Oh, I thank you very much, JD.
Okay, and on with the show, the blues show, and let's start our music playing. off with some.
Is your brain having a fart?
Frank Marino from his first album called Mag Zoom.
I can't say I'm familiar with it, but it's going to be Frank Marino. It's going to be awesome.
And it's a song about Hendrix. It's called Buddy.
Well, my friend and I shared anything. And we rode together on angels' wings. And I didn't really care what the future might bring. When I would listen to him playing and singing. When I was feeling down, he'd lift my spirits high. And at the same time, his magic music made me cry. And then one day, he just up and died.
felt all alone, as I stood screaming. Well, I said, buddy, what has happened? Can you hear me, friend? Buddy, I didn't see this coming round the bend. Buddy, is this the way your story ends? Will you rest easy and I'll carry on singing?
What I understand from that song is that Frank Marino and Jimi Hendrix were buddies.
I don't know if they were buddies actually or not, but
yeah, I'm thinking he was dead before Frank started his career, wasn't he?
Well, maybe he knew him before that. Maybe. I don't really know. I never looked into to see if he ever knew the guy or anything like that, but you know what I mean? I think he's just saying that, you know, he probably had things in his life or his guitar playing or music abilities or who knows what, that he's calling him his buddy or something, I think. Right. Unless it's about something we don't know, you know what I mean?
Sure. Just like Stevie Ray Vaughan, I suppose. Like, you know that Stevie and Jimmy shared
many things.
Some kind of mojo. Yeah. But obviously they didn't know each other. I think Stevie would have been a young lad when Jimi Hendrix died. So we're talking about blues music on today's show.
Yeah.
It's one of the true American music genres.
Some roots music, if you will, to some degree.
Well, it has...
Is that more... roots pertain more to folk music?
Yeah, for sure.
But how related is folk music and blues music?
One, you know what I mean? Is derived from the hard times that were put on the African Americans during mm-hmm. slavery.
Yeah.
And a lot of those songs were derived from gospel songs. And
I was just going to say, how does gospel and blues
relate to each other? People were converted at some point. They came to North America and they were converted to Catholicism, Christianity, whatever. And they had to derive strength from something, so they took very strongly to religion because they were being oppressed by the white man. Also, there is a aspect in blues music of like work songs that they even use back in Africa or even in other parts of Europe, where it's rhythmic singing. So their bodies are moving in rhythm, and they mm-hmm. sing these songs out in a field or out wherever they're doing their work, and they're all singing all together. So there's a mixture of the gospel, the work songs, and it melded into what we know as blues. A very simplistic music form. The most common being the 12-bar blues, where you sing a certain section of the song and then it just repeats over again.
Turn around and start again.
And another hallmark of blues music is you sing a line and then you repeat the same line again, mm-hmm. Using a different melody or in a different key of some kind.
Helpful to remember lyrics. Singing the same thing over and over.
Over and over again, yeah.
It's good for me.
So having said that it was simplistic music, the thing about blues is it's not easy music to play mm-hmm. and actually come off sounding like a decent blues tune. Anybody can play some blues music, but then the issue is you come off as sounding as what they call white. You sound really white playing that song. So it doesn't even sound like a blues song. It sounds like something else. And there's a lot of bands out there that interpreted blues music differently, and it took it to a different place altogether.
Sure.
And you're going to be playing some music. Like you just played Frank Marino, and you're going to be playing later blues music that was inspired by the earlier guys.
Yeah, some of the stuff, some blues rock type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, rock definitely.
But all blues inspired, like a lot of music is.
For sure. And it's a good music form for if you're even learning how to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to start because there's so many songs that were based on blues songs, like all the Chuck Berry stuff, which is super simple, but it's got that rock feel to it. You know, it's got that upbeat.
The scales are generally easier. The chord progressions are easier and
yeah, not very complicated, and in so much that it's simple, it is definitely not easy. But anyway, going right back to the beginning, one of the blues pioneers besides Robert Johnson, which I was debating on whether I wanted to put a Robert Johnson song in there mm-hmm. or not, but I ended up putting a Lead Belly song in there. He's also one of the very first recorded blues artists, and this is a song that was covered many years later by Ram Jam, and it's Black Betty.
Oh, Black Betty. Bamba lamb, oh Black Betty, bamba lamb, Black Betty, bamba lamb, Black Betty, bamba lamb, jump study, Black Betty, bamba lamb, jump study, Black Betty, bamba lamb, oh Black Betty, bamba lamb, oh Black Betty, bamba lamb, looky on a Black Betty, bamba lamb, looky on a Black Betty, bamba lamb, turn around, Black Betty, bamba lamb, jump down, Black Betty, bamba lamb, oh Black Betty. Bamba lamb, oh Black Betty, bamba lamb, Black Betty had a baby, bamba lamb, Black Betty had a baby, bamba lamb, little thing went crazy, bamba lamb, little thing went crazy, bamba lamb, oh Black Betty, bamba lamb, oh Black Betty, bamba lamb, jump steady, Black Betty, bamba lamb, jump steady, Black Betty, bamba lamb, look at yonder Black Betty, bamba lamb, look at yonder Black Betty, bamba lamb, oh Black Betty, bamba lamb, oh oh, Black Betty, bam a lamb, little thing went blind, bam a lamb, a little thing went blind, bam a lamb, the city wasn't none of mine, bam a lamb, the city wasn't none of mine, bam a lamb, what about it, Black Betty, bam a lamb, what about it, Black Betty, bam a lamb, oh, Black Betty, bam a lamb, oh, Black Betty, bam a lamb, look at yonder Black Betty, bam a lamb, jump steady, Black Betty. Bamba lamb, run yonder Black Betty. Bamba lamb, turn around Black Betty. Bamba lamb, eh, Black Betty. Bamba lamb, eh, Black Betty. Bamba lamb, look at yonder Black Betty. Bamba lamb, run around Black Betty. Bamba lamb, jump down Black Betty. Bamba lamb, turn around Black Betty. Bamba lamb, eh, Black Betty. Bamba lamb, eh, Black Betty. Bamba lamb.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Another great blues / blues rock artist, Rory Gallagher.
Awesome guitarist.
And this is I Fall Apart from his first album.
like a cat that's playing with the ball of twine that you call my heart. Oh, but baby, is it so hard to tell the two apart? And so slowly you unwind me until I fall apart.
Rory Gallagher on the morning show.
Awesome stuff.
When have you heard that on the radio? You'd have to go to Spotify for that.
Spotify. We didn't. We established should have been in the news.
It should have been. We can do it now. Or save it for the iChart Mag.
No. I think we already talked about it.
You did, yeah.
But it isn't actually released.
And thank you for bringing all that to my attention, by the way.
Well, now we're going to have to talk about it.
We do, yeah.
Spotify was released in Canada on a beta basis. So if you gave them your email at some point in the past looking to sign up for Spotify, you'd get a web page saying, hey, sorry, Spotify is in Canada right now, but if you give us your email address, we'll let you know when it is available. And so these people, including myself, got an email saying it was ready to go. And so the service is online right now, and I find it to be awesome. The depth of the music that they have to offer is pretty complete. There's just a few artists on there that do I care about? No. You can't get the whole Beatles catalog. Def Leppard's not on there. Kid Rock's not on there. There might be a couple other bands, but stuff like that is easy enough to find and put on your device if you really want to listen to Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Now, if it's available in Canada and it's free, why does, a free can't version. Everybody have it now?
They're just working out any kinks that are going to come about, and they want to make sure that the service is ready to shoot out to everybody as far as the payment thing goes too. So they give all the beta testers free 30 days. Mm-hmm. So you can use it for 30 days. You got to give them your credit card to get the 30 days. So you get 7 days free regardless who you are. Just all you need is an email address. But if you're willing to give them your credit card, they'll give you 30 days. And then after the 30 days, I think that's when it's going to kick in with all these credit card numbers in there. And then,
but there's also the free service anyway.
There is the free Spotify, which
with ads.
You get ads, and there's other limitations. There's no, I don't think you can get on-demand stuff. I don't think you can just punch in a name and then you just get what you want and just play albums like that or skip songs to the next
song.
I am
so far, and I have free, but I don't know if that's the...
I'm not sure what the limitations are. I just wanted to dive right in and get it because I know that several of my friends in the States use it and they swear by it. And
how do the artists get paid?
Cents per stream.
Okay.
So every stream, it's minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those.
But it's something rather than nothing because they wouldn't be getting anything.
That's right.
People be stealing it.
Right. It's right now. They say it's going to cost 10 euro a month. Well, I have to think they're going to eventually change that too. See, that's the whole thing. The whole payment thing as well is got to get worked out.
From another
is the amazing Howlin' Wolf. The nobody had a voice like that guy. He was so loud.
He was howling.
He was howling, and he could sing loud. Like, he was... the stories I heard was insane. Like, he did not need a microphone most of the time.
You know who sang that like that locally? It might have been from Detroit or something. Was the what's the blues guy back in the day here? Thomas Bucknasty.
Yes, I know exactly.
He was loud. He didn't need a microphone.
He didn't need a microphone. No. Not in the Aardvark, especially. You could hear him over
his band.
His whole band, for sure. But back to the Spoonful thing, the band that covered that tune, made it really popular in the early 70s. FM radio was Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce.
Oh, I thought you were going to say JDBC.
No,
didn't you do that song with us at somewhere downtown?
Spoonful?
Yeah.
I may have.
We did that.
Sure. I can.
It'll be on our Facebook. We'll put it up.
The Spoonful version.
Spoonful.
Sure. That's awesome. But like I say, Eric Clapton, he was obviously a big fan of the blues.
Well, Cream.
But this was the Cream thing. Speaking of Jack Bruce, though. Speaking of Ginger Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the movie yet?
Oh, no. Okay. Well, you told me about it, like, last show or something.
It was
like
last
that.
Show, yeah.
No, I forgot all about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to rent that off you.
I'll have to send you in the right direction as far as...
Yes, do that. Thank you very much.
Getting that done.
What
do you want to talk about blues related now?
Well, we could talk about anything blues related.
I think that a large...
Instrumentation, too, I want to get into a blues. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know where you want to take that.
Well, acoustic guitar was a very early blues oriented instrument, as well as harmonica.
Yeah, both of those instruments, which in today's society are extremely common, not so much the harmonica, but acoustic guitar is really common. But back in those times, that wasn't really, not everybody played acoustic guitar. And that kind of thing was relegated to, like, professional musicians. Mm-hmm. Like, you were thought of having lots of talent if you knew the guitar, because not everybody owned a guitar. It was an instrument that, you know, more people played trumpet as played guitar, you know what I mean?
Blues trumpet. And the acoustic guitars of the past, you know, these original acoustic guitars associated with blues and stuff like that, you know, Robert Johnson and these guys would be playing or whatever. Well,
right.
They have those reissues now, so you get these, and they sound quite a bit different than a modern acoustic guitar.
Did you hear the story about Robert Johnson and his music? It was all sped up. It was all sped up.
I think I've heard stuff about that, yeah.
It's crazy, because they slowed it down and it sounds awesome.
Yeah?
It sounds real. Like, it sounds like,
yeah, no, I never heard it slowed down then.
I can't believe that's actually what happened, because...
Was it an accident, or did they do that on purpose?
I think it was an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think it. Yeah.
So they pressed it and it went out, and then I just assumed.
Did they actually release it at normal speed at some point?
They haven't released it. People are working on the originals. They have to get the permissions and all that kind of stuff. So
that's some old tape.
Yeah, just look that up on the Google there, and there's a couple
on the Google?
On the Google, and there's a couple examples of songs that were slowed down, and the feeling in his voice, it sounds like it's stirring, because you know how it goes, and you know all the tones in there, and it's like you're familiar with it, but yet it's so new and so different. And you're like, wow, that sounds real.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the stuff that he does was, it almost seemed acrobatic as far as his guitar playing and singing at the same time. It was like, wow, how did he do that kind of stuff? And it's interesting that a lot of people did replicate the stuff that he did on his recordings, even though it was sped up.
Yeah.
There's some wickedly
talented. Well, nobody would have known really at the time.
Nobody knew. So they figured if this guy can do it, I can do it. So it kind of pushed blues into a different place than it actually was. And we might not have a lot of music that we do now if that accident, air quotes there, didn't happen.
Seeing those guitars, the early blues acoustic guitars, or I guess early acoustic guitars in general, maybe, didn't have the sustain we have now on an acoustic guitar.
Oh, no.
They were really sort of dead sounding.
Oh, for sure. And if you watch any of the old... film out there of the blues guys that got sent over to the UK there in the 60s. There was that whole movement where the UK just ate up all the blues music. Those guys went over there, and some of the instruments that you see these guys with, it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that thing even works.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Duke Robillard on the morning show. Told you the story about how I came across Duke Robillard. It was the old Olympic Records store here, and I saw this three, and I was always in a three piece. My band was always three piece, but I saw these guys, and I thought Duke Robillard was like, I don't know, he just looked like kind of funny. And so I thought, oh, this might be cool. It's a three piece band, and I like three-piece bands and stuff. So I bought it, and it was amazing.
Of course,
blown away by this thing. It was a long time ago.
A solo Duke Robillard.
Album? Duke Robillard and the Pleasure Kings. It was called.
Oh, Pleasure Kings.
Yeah. And I don't believe that that actual album was released on like CD or anything like that. I think it was. It's part of a compilation, or there's more songs, or not all those songs, or something. But this was an old record album.
Oh, cool.
And I want to say it was the first thing.
In another band. I'm just trying to think what it was. Was it Roomful of Blues? I want to say it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, well, a lot of guitarists went through that band. Was it? I'm going to check it out when...
yeah, cool.
When we're playing this next song, which the next song, I believe, is a Junior Wells tune, is it not?
Come on in this house.
Yes, come on in this house. Junior Wells, he was an awesome harmonica player, singer, and he had a guitarist that he traveled with. His name was Buddy Guy. And he was probably one in the last line of the Chicago blues guitar players. He was like the new kid on the block back when Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and all those guys were making a name for themselves back in the south side of Chicago. And Buddy Guy was hanging out with this guy here, Mr. Junior Wells. Come on in this house.
Crying won't ease your mind, and I'm begging you to come on in this house, yeah, this old house. When you hear me hollow, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I love you so. If I had $1 million, I'd give you every dime. Did you hear you call me daddy? One more time. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. To come on in this house, yeah, this old house. When you hear me hollow, oh yeah, 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 I love you so. Y'all better watch yourself this morning.
been a bad fella, baby, baby, baby. Bound to change my ways. I don't want bad luck and trouble, trouble, trouble. One for the rest of my day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My, my, my. Yeah, baby, yeah. Yeah. My, my, Lord, I must be. Oh, it's so good to me this moment. Can I say something again, y'all? Can we say it together? I'm begging you. Yes, I am. I'm begging you to do one thing for me this moment, if you don't mind. I'm begging you, Lord, to come on to this house. Yeah, this old house. When you hear me holler, so
and one quick thing I want everybody to know is about the South Detroit Soundhouse. A buddy of mine, Randy Falsetta, who is the Detroit editor for Splash Magazine Worldwide, and I have partnered to produce this show called the South Detroit Soundhouse, whereby we are interviewing national and international artists that pass through the area here in the Windsor, Canada area, Detroit, Michigan area. And so you can check that out at www.southdetroitsoundhouse.com. And our first interview is up there. These are video interviews. And this is with Steve Lukather and David Page from Toto. So check that out. Here's something new. And this is from a guitar player that I've always admired. The original guitar player from... actually, not the original guitar player, really, because I think an early Motorhead album had somebody else on it. I want to say, but Fast Eddie Clark, who was, you know, what we consider the original guitar player for Motorhead, and which is a blues-oriented metal punk rock band.
Ooh, there's a lot of genres in there.
And Fast Eddie Clark was...
and we'll be covering each really one cool. of those genres.
Yeah. But this is... He's got a new album out, and this is from that, and it's called One Way, and it's a blues record. there you have some Fast Eddie Clark.
Fast Eddie.
Fast Eddie.
That was a pinball.
He was never
fan.
Really that fast, though. I don't know why they call him Fast Eddie. He must have been from some other reason.
His
maybe he wasn't so good with the ladies.
Yeah, I think you're right there. So that was pretty good.
Oh, that was fast, Eddie.
Or that's... oh, yeah, you don't want to go with him. He's fast. Or you do want to go with him. He is fast. Depends on how you want to look at that.
I just want to talk a little bit about the blues from different areas.
Geographic blues.
Geographical.
Well, blues started, like we know, in the South because of the slavery thing, and they were picking cotton down there. And so... A lot of that stuff was what is known as Delta blues, and it was more acoustic-based type stuff. Lots of wailing and just harmonica, very mm-hmm. sparse type stuff. But then a lot of these African-Americans heard about work doing other stuff up north as the Industrial Revolution started taking off up there, and there was a lot of jobs in Chicago and Detroit. Mm-hmm. So they all headed up there, and that's when they realized that you could electrify your music. So they started buying electric guitars and plugging them in, and they were making a decent living for themselves up there playing blues music for the people who live there, who were the same race as them as well. So it was something that was kept amongst themselves, as it were. But then a lot of this stuff started leaking into other genres of music, and the radio stations started playing blues bass type music. And I don't even think I'm recording right now, am I?
You absolutely are right here.
Oh, sorry. I was looking to the right of that, of what you're playing with there. Sorry.
No.
I gave you an edit there, maybe. Or maybe not.
Maybe not.
So blues got more popular that way, and it was in Chicago and Detroit with guys like John Lee Hooker and Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and Junior Wells and Buddy Guy and those guys. They popularized it, and then that's when white people started listening to music up in from the Detroit, Chicago area. As far as blues anywhere else in the United States goes, it really wasn't a thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe it might have leaked a little bit to the East Coast there, where we talked about bands from Boston. Jay Giles Band was an awesome blues band originally.
Mm-hmm.
They started off playing nothing but blues, and they were an awesome band, and then they turned very commercial after the Centerfold album. I remember that. I was like,
oh yeah, Angel in the Centerfold.
Yeah, that was very poppy kind of music.
Was that the album that had One Last Kiss on it, which was a pretty cool song, by the way?
One
Last... I walk out the door, just one more night.
No, I don't think that's on that album. I think it's on a
good song.
That's a very good song,
especially for later Jay Giles.
For sure. So yeah,
it was on Sanctuary, I think.
You may be right, and that's when they actually. Called the name of the band was Giles, then they took out the J.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then he went back to the Jay Giles
thing.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure what happened there, but Jay is for Jerome, by the way. Jerome Giles was the guitar player in Jay Giles. But as far as geographically speaking, anything west of the Mississippi, I don't know of any blues music that came out of that way myself.
And moving along, because we're just closing in on the end of the show this week. What are we going to do next week?
We're going to...
On the morning show.
I don't know.
He's looking around.
I'm looking around the room.
Up. See anything? Interesting?
We're going to be talking about live albums.
Oh, I love it. Okay, live albums.
Yes.
Wow.
What's involved?
Kiss Alive.
Kiss Alive.
We'll be talking about that.
Peter Frampton Comes Alive.
Oh, yeah.
Bob mm-hmm. Seger, Silver Bullet Band Live.
Ooh, yeah. Classic records there.
All the stuff that's involved with the history of live albums and what it actually takes to make a live album and what kind of live albums are being made today that are becoming popular.
Ooh. Are there still live albums today?
I believe there are. So
it's not the same.
I think I might have just... Oh, no, that was a documentary. I bet you there's going to be a soundtrack to the Roger Waters
film. Yeah.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming there's going to be another live wall album.
Do we need another live wall album? That's what I'm asking.
That's what he's asking. Anyway, okay. You want to wrap things up with another song?
Let's wrap it up with some Charlie Musselwhite. The Blues Overtook Me.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
When I was swimming in whiskey made this lonesome boy wild.
Week for more Big JD and Lippo in the morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Say no more, say no more.